What a blessing to be back again here at Cedar View, my last pastorate. And I had come out of retirement in 1992 while pastoring Second Baptist Church in Greenville, Mississippi. I lost my voice. I did not know where to find it. And for 3 years, I did not preach. And the Lord restored my voice. After He restored my voice, then some other parts of my body started breaking up. And my legs went out from under me. But praise God for wheelchairs and for people to help you when you have a need. Thank you so much, choir, for the beautiful message and song. Thank you for each one of you that are here. Thank you for your prayers. Your preparation for today, each person who had any part, I extend my gratitude and appreciation from the very depths of this heart of mine. It's good to see your faces. It's good to feel your embraces. And so God bless you now. As we look toward today, I will have some questions for you. The first question I have for you: are you glad you're here? Yes. And if you're glad you're here, you're probably like me. You like homecomings. And you know why I like homecomings especially? Because in all the homecomings I've been to, and I'll be 85 years old in December, so I've been to a lot of homecomings. And as I go to these homecomings, I have never heard someone say to me, after I've preached, or someone else has preached, that sermon was too long. I've never heard someone say, that was a terrible sermon. I wish I hadn't had to listen. I've never heard anybody say, I sure am sorry to see those sorry rascals at this homecoming. I've never heard anyone say, I don't like this. The food's lousy. And as I said, the preacher's too long, and the people are unfriendly. I've never heard those kind of words at a homecoming. I'm ashamed to say I have heard those words in some services, in some places. And I regret that, because God's people coming to God's house ought to be always a homecoming. This is our home on earth. This is our household that God has built for us here on this earth. And we should honor it and love it. We should do our best to support it. We should pray for our church every day. We should pray for our pastors. We should pray for our music ministers, our education directors, our deacons, our Sunday school teachers, and our listeners. We should pray that God will bless. I had many good things happen to me while we were here at Cedar View, but I think one of the main things that happened is helping to leave a legacy. Now, we left a number of legacies, but two especially. We had two young men in our church, Gary Linville and Ty Hewitt, and God called them both to preach. And praise God, they both were ordained, they both pastor churches, and they both are great young men of God. And I am still thankful for the experience of having been their pastor and was able to at least have a little bit of mentoring to do on their behalf. Are you heading home? Ask yourself the question, am I heading home? Do you know where home is? You see, we have two homes. We have an earthly home and we have a heavenly home. And are you heading for the heavenly home? If you are faithful to your church, faithful to Christ, faithful to the Word of God, you're heading home. But beloved, if you're here today, I'm sorry to say that if you are missing out on any one of those three things, you may have to question where you're headed. And if you question where you're headed, you need an answer. And I hope that answer will be this: believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. This morning's topic for the message is faith fills and faith fulfills. Another one thing that I've never heard at a homecoming is for anybody to say, I'm going home hungry. Everybody goes home filled. Filled with joy, filled with hope, filled with a future, filled with a home, but also filled our stomachs. And we know you're looking forward to a wonderful meal today. But remember, each time you take a bite, that's God's provision. We wouldn't have it if it were not for God. No one can say, that's mine and mine alone. Our scripture for today is found in Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. And it begins like this: now. Now notice it doesn't say later, maybe, could be, maybe. It says now. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift. And by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had the testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. I read a story about a chief and a servant. And the servant was very special to the chief, and he always prayed for him, and he always wished him well on his journeys. And so the chief started a journey, and certainly the servant began to pray for him, and told him so, I'll pray for you all the time that you're going. His servant was faithful, but while on the trip, the chief got a finger bitten off by a lion. He became so angry that he got back home. He called in the servant and he says, your prayers didn't work. You didn't work like you were supposed to. I lost a finger. Now I'll have to do without that finger the rest of my life. And so he beat the servant and left him behind on the next trip. But on the next trip, the chief was captured by cannibals, and they were preparing him for a meal. And so as they were preparing for the meal, the chief of the tribe saw the other chief's finger missing, and they had a pact, a covenant, among the cannibals that they would not eat anything that wasn't perfect. And so now the chief was not perfect because he had lost a finger. He lost a finger, and the losing of his finger saved his life. Sometimes we have things we think are very important, and we get advice, and sometimes we obey that advice and sometimes we don't. But wouldn't it be worth losing a finger in order to spend eternity in heaven? Well, that's not the way you get there. The way you get there is to lose yourself, to lose your whole life, to lose it to Christ. And Christ comes in and enters you, and He lives inside you through His Holy Spirit. So when the chief said your prayer didn't work, he was wrong, because the prayer saved his life. How are we filled with faith? We read of these people and their faith in the early part of this Hebrews chapter 11 that we read just a moment ago. Oh, how are we filled with faith? First, we are filled with faith through unseen things. For it says there in the first verse, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The things hoped for are the things not seen. I am hoping, and my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness, that I'm going to spend my eternity with my Jesus, that I'm going to spend my eternity with many of you that are here today. I hope all of you. But if there's somebody here that you have not received Jesus Christ, remember, this is your opportunity. This is your day. Because the Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. You say, but I can't see Jesus. No, you don't have to see Him, but you have to faith Him. You have to believe in Him. You have to know that His Word is true and accept it and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The substance of things hoped for. Not I hope or wish or maybe, but my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. It's evidence of things not seen. Testimonies of faithful fellows. We can't see their testimony, but we can hear it. And so we need to have open ears that we might have hearts fulfilled with the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Apostles and prophets and disciples, old and young, we can't see them, but we can believe them because the Word of God says so. How many of you here have ever been to Alaska? Oh, hold them high. Okay, look how few there are. How many of you ever been to Hawaii? Okay, see, it's still not many of us have been there. Let me ask you this. Do you believe Hawaii and Alaska are still there? Do you believe they're still there? Let's see your hands again. All right, you believe they're still there? Why? Because of faith. Because of belief in things not seen. We can't see Alaska or we can't see Hawaii right now, but we know they are there because of the testimony of others. And we know the Bible is true by the testimony of these faithful ones who followed Christ. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, the multitude of eyewitnesses, Jesus Himself and His book that tells us what is the elders' good report. The Bible is our source of information. Our geography book, our math book. Because the Bible says, add unto yourself these things, and gives a whole list of things that we as Christians can enjoy that the world cannot. How else do we show our faith? Through seen things, through things that we can see. The worlds that are created and formed by the Word of God. For in John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And listen to this. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Anything you see, God made it. God is responsible for it being here. We can't take a lump of dirt and form a man. God did. We can't take a rib from a man and make a woman, but God did. That's because He shows us through the things we see that He is alive, that He is real, and that we can be part of His family and live eternity with the seen things of God. Seen things made from unseen things. Because you see, the Bible says that God took nothing and created everything. He did it. And we don't have to doubt it, because His Word says so. And so, we can believe because of the unseen things and the seen things, the visible things. And we can cry out with the hymnist, "Once I was blind, but now I can see." How else can we show our faith? Through past heroes of faith. They passed from death unto life. Abel passed from death unto life by giving a more worthy sacrifice than Cain. They were brothers. They had the same opportunities. They had the same father, the same mother, the same surroundings, the same circumstances. There are people today that blame sin and sinners and crime on our circumstances. They say, "Oh, we can't help it because look at our circumstances. Look how poor we are. Look how ugly we are. Look how lonesome we are. Look how isolated we are." But beloved, that is just an excuse, and it never will stand up in the throne room of God. We cannot use that as our plea. We can't use that as our alibi. We can't use that as our excuse, because the heroes of faith show that we can do things that are good in God's sight and bring us to the place of righteousness. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. How will people know that we are righteous? When we allow the light of Jesus Christ and His love to shine through our lives, our actions, and our speech. Through past heroes of faith, we can not only give better sacrifices, which calls us to be righteous in God's sight, but like Enoch, by a steady walk and testimony that pleased God so much that one time when God and Enoch, thank you, God bless you, honey. Thank you, God, walking with Enoch. Enoch was walking with God, and the scripture says he was not, for God took him. He was visible, then he was invisible, but not invisible to God, because God had walked with Enoch, and he took him home. Enoch got to go home early. Don't you know he was happy about that? Can't you realize that when he saw what God was doing, and God said, "Just come on and go home with me," and he saw his home that God had prepared for him through Jesus Christ our Lord, he must have been on shouting ground. He must have been ready to say, "Hallelujah, God, thank you so much for taking me out of my old home, my old visible home, bringing me to what was once my invisible home, and revealing me in its fullness." And then, like Noah, we can show our faith through preparation. The Bible says he built an ark. But it doesn't just say he built an ark, it says he entered the ark. He didn't just make a construction, he went in. There are a lot of people today that are building empty houses. They build houses not of faith, and they go unoccupied. And what do when they go unoccupied? They rot down. They crumble. They fall like the house that wasn't built on the rock, but was built on the sand, because God wants us to be able to build, but also to enter in. That's why it's so important on God's day that we enter into His house to praise Him and thank Him for His visible house and for His invisible house to us. Noah, through what? Preparation. Being ready. Not saying, I will one day build an ark. I will one day build a ship, and if I feel like it, I'll enter in. But rather, Noah built an ark, took his family in, and the Bible says God shut the door. He didn't even have to worry about closing the door, because once he was inside, he was safe in the ark of God, and then later on would be safe in the ark of heaven. Abraham showed his faith through moving at God's command. Verses 8 and 9 says to us, but faith, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark and saved his house. But by faith, after that, 8th verse, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned or journeyed in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Abraham had no idea where he was headed. He had no idea where God wanted him to go. And even in an inquisition with God, God says, it's not for you to know, it's for you to obey. You go where I say go, and I'll bless you. I'll bless you many times over. I'll give you more children than there are sands on the seashore. And beloved, that's a lot of folks, because there's a lot of sand on the seashore. But Abraham didn't question God. He didn't worry about it. He just said to his family, pack up, we're leaving. And I can almost be assured that there was some of the family that was saying, but I don't want to go. I like it here. I like what I see. I like what I'm enjoying. But God, through faith, led Abraham to his earthly home and prepared him for his heavenly home. If He has led you to your earthly home, He's preparing you for your heavenly home. And in preparing you for your heavenly home, He wants you to live a heavenly life here on earth. He wants you to live a faithful life here on terra firma. He wants you to plant your feet on solid ground and march at the call of God. Listen to the trumpet sound and be ready to go when God says, go. Abraham, through moving at God's command, found faith and saw his journey complete. And then, another way, through faith that makes the impossible dream become a reality. The impossible dream. I love that song, don't you? It's a great song. But here it has a great truth. What is it that is so great? It is that the impossible dream becomes a total reality when you receive Jesus Christ into your heart. When Jesus' Spirit, the Holy Spirit, abides in you and gives you utterance, you are guaranteed of a second home that you're going to love a whole lot more than the one you live in now. I don't mind how many houses you've lived in. I've lived in a bunch of them. Parsonages, houses that we've bought. And there were some of them were really fine. Some of them were not so fine. One of the houses we lived in Arkansas, the first night it rained, we had at least a dozen pots and pans around the floor because the roof was leaking. That house had been built out of an old Japanese concentration camp barrack. And there were was no inner and outer wall, there was just one wall. There was a tin roof that I already said leaked like a sieve. But it was home. And that's where our oldest son was born, there in Monticello. And that house was his first house here on earth. And beloved, he's got a much better place waiting for him. And I love our house that we're in today, and God has blessed us with a beautiful home. But you know something? I wouldn't hesitate a moment to give it up if God said, Bob, move. Go. Have faith and go. Trust me and go wherever he says go. And we sing that great hymn, wherever he leads, I'll go. I'll follow him who loves me so. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Without faith, it is impossible. But by faith, we wait assured for the city, our home, which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Babel is gone. The ark is empty. The tabernacle is disappeared. The temple is dismantled and discredited. But the home city, built and made by our eternal God, is an eternal home. Built by faith, built in faith, and built on faith for all who faithfully believe. If you are truly heading home, it's by the Spirit. You can't get there by bus, train, plane, or car, or not even by rocket ship. Jesus is the only transportation that will take us home. Verse 1 is more of a description of faith than a definition, because it says the substance of things hoped for. That word is hypostasis, which means assurance. Our home is assured. That's what he's telling us. Also, the word faith provides evidence, which is elegakos, which means satisfaction. Our house, our home that God has built for us is waiting for us, and is full of substance assurance. It's full of faith, that is, evidence, which is the satisfactory result of conviction, confession, and consecration. Are you heading home? Verse 3 gives us hope of the resurrection, the return of Christ, and the glorification of the saints. Guarantees we're going home. It involves forgiveness in chapter 10, for he looked for us a city which foundation, whose builder and maker is God. And it involves forgiveness through Christ and the intercession of Christ in heaven, our home. Are you heading home? Do you live like a homeboy? Do you live by faith? Do others see Jesus in you while passing through this world of sin? Do others see Jesus in you? By grace are you saved through faith. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man, woman, boy or girl should boast. Do you have Jesus this morning? Are you heading home by faith? That's the question. Only you know the answer. The call comes to you. Trust me with all your heart, and I will give you the joy of my salvation. Remember, salvation is not ours. It's God's. We're the saved. He's the Savior. If you're here today without Jesus as your personal Savior, I beg of you, I plead with you, you can be both fulfilled and fulfilled today. You can have your heart filled with joy. You can have your hope filled with eternity through trusting in Jesus Christ as your Lord. Maybe you're here and you know Jesus. You know Jesus, but you haven't lived like you know Jesus. You haven't looked like you know Jesus. Would you commit your life to Christ from this day to look more like the Savior, to light up with the light of Jesus, to become lamps to those that are in darkness? Father God in heaven, today is your day. Though it's homecoming 55 years for Cedar View, 55 years are as a moment, as a twinkling of an eye. We have had 55 years to reach out to this community. God, give the community to this church that they may become part of it, and that they also may, in faith, prepare for that home that Jesus is building. And it says to us in the 14th chapter of John, "And I give to them eternal life." Jesus does it. Jesus paid it all. Help us to surrender all. In His name, amen.